It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts, Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. What is going on, gentlemen?
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to you, Jason and Brad.
Holla, holla.
Thank you, sir.
Everyone have a good holiday season?
Very, very nice. I was off basically the last week of last year and the first week of this year. And the first part of that was on a cruise in the Caribbean. So yeah, it was really nice.
Fantastic. How about you, Jason?
I didn't quite have a cruise in the Caribbean, but got some quality time with the Mrs. Our 10-year-old German short-haired pointer passed away back in October. And we'd been contemplating getting a new pup to replace him. And so our new German short-haired pointer pup was born on Christmas Day. So that's kind of cool. And I celebrated birthday number 4 or 5 yesterday. So overall, been a pretty good couple of weeks.
Happy belated birthday.
Did you name your new dog Jesus?
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Nope. His registered name is going to be Bullwinkle J.K. Moose. And we're going to call him Moose.
That's great.
But he shares a birthday with Jesus.
He's
got nothing for that.
I'm not even going to. So many things pop into my mind, but I just don't feel like editing it out. So I won't. Well, Caribbean cruise sounds much better than the trip that I was kind of forced to take under duress. But it was fun. I mean, we ended up having some fun. But
yeah, I had the issue on Sunday where we got to Fort Lauderdale Airport, checked all the bags in. No problems. I mean, getting off the boat is usually just a pain in the butt. And that went so smooth. I mean, we were off the boat immediately, got our bags, boarded a, you know, like a charter bus to the airport. Everything's fine. We get to the gate. They start to board. I can't pull up the boarding pass on my phone because I can't get to anything on the internet. So I had to like run up to the counter and say, hey, look, my phone's not working. Can I get a printed boarding pass? So yeah, that was like crazy. The lady said it happened. So I talked to y'all a little bit about that day with it not working. The lady said that she thinks it has something to do with the international terminal is either right below there or right by there. And they do have some cell jamming stuff in that international terminal.
Interesting. So I'm surprised you didn't have your boarding pass loaded before you got to the airport, though. That's weird.
Well, I did, but the Southwest app would not open. It would just kind of open up and say
you don't add the wallet.
I never add the wallet.
Really?
And there's your problem.
Exactly.
I fly too damn much. I end up with just a ton of them in there. I just open the Southwest app and it's right there.
Adding the wallet, you wouldn't have that problem though. Like as soon as you get to the airport,
sometimes if I know the flight has like a possibility of being late or something, I'll add the wallet or just screenshot the boarding pass. I mean, we were fine, you know. It's like there was no reason to worry about it until there was. So maybe I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, I always add the wallet. I sometimes forget to clean them out, but it's always in there just because it. I like the fact that when you get to the airport, it automatically is persistent on your lock screen. You don't have to unlock your phone.
Yeah, I hate that too.
A lot of benefits to doing it that way instead of relying on the app, though.
It's like, hey, you're at the airport. Hey, you're at the airport. Hey, you're at the airport. Like every 20 seconds. Hey, you're at the airport.
But you'll never not have your boarding pass. The same with my movie tickets. It does the same thing of, hey, you're at the mall. Hey, you're at the theater.
Yeah, I know. I was maybe going to talk a little bit about that. I blanked my phone and I tried to really like curb back how many notifications I'm getting now. So that was part of my New Year's thing. I changed a lot of them to deliver silently to the notification screen.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. All right, so there's been a lot of Apple news, a couple of big stories from the past week. So let's jump into that. So Apple missed their estimates. Even though they haven't announced their quarterly earnings yet, obviously, they went ahead and made an announcement that they were going to not quite hit what they were looking to hit, and immediately took an 8% loss of value off their bottom line, $55 billion. The stock market went crazy. It's been nuts. So out comes all the naysayers, who also neglected to mention that Samsung's been hit hard too. And it looks like China is kind of the culprit right now, where they're not seeing the kind of growth in China they anticipated. I mean, it's happened a little stateside too, but China's been kind of where this has been sort of centered. What do you guys think about this?
So first off, was it one of y'all that had the quote where Apple has lost as much value since like October as like all but like 20 companies or something in the whole U.S. Like they've lost more than those companies or all those companies are worth or something crazy
that? They had lost more during that time than Facebook was ever worth.
which is kind of weird when you think about it. But when there's a company that previously had a $1 trillion market cap and is worth so much, even a small percentage is going to look huge.
Oh. $1 trillion.
Exactly. So I know the market is panicking and, you know, you hear people. I saw some really stupid stuff on Twitter. One of the things was, you know, this is, you know, they got rid of hardware keyboards years ago and now it's finally catching up to them. Somebody actually said that. That was kind of stupid. It's like,
oh, geez.
But the no one wants a $1,300 smartphone was the thing that kind of blew my mind. I tend to disagree with that a little bit. I mean, first of all, I have one that's worth more than that. But they still have the upgrade programs. You can still get them from the carriers. You can still do them directly through Apple. You may not pay. I mean, if you're leasing your phone and you get a new one every year, what do you really care what it costs? If it's, you know what I mean? If that's the thing that you choose to do, which existed in the cell phone world in America, at least, for, you know, a long time. Thoughts?
I think people are just happy with the phones they have. I mean, it's really, as long as the battery is lasting, and I think Apple, I did see somewhere where one of the things Apple said is, hey, we've been replacing batteries this year for free, and that kind of has probably come back to bite us a little more than we thought it would, because those people don't need new phones now.
They also had iOS 12, which breathed new life into old devices, so... And again, the more cynical people who are like, you know, they count on you to upgrade every single year. I think this runs counter to that because iOS 12 runs, what, nearly 5 years worth of phones, you know, 5 years back. So the new batteries and like the, iOS 12 seem to have breathed a lot of new life in there. I mean, I guess this was always a possibility, but I'm just a little surprised that it had that much of an impact though. But
the 10 and the 10S are great phones, but neither of them have a super whiz-bang thing that normal folks want from the phones they have. There's no, they don't care about Face ID. They like their button, you know, they can scan. You know, I really love having the two cameras on mine. You know, that's the reason I don't have the XR, because I would really love a 10R. I'd really love that red one, you know, but I want the two cameras on the S. But I mean,
yeah,
people
the two
just,
cameras was the clincher for my wife getting the 10S.
You know, I posted a link in the show notes about from, I think it was the New York Times, where the guy's like, my mom is one of the reasons, you know, that Apple is where they are, because she's got this old phone. I mean, the article is like, my mom loves her Apple gear. She's got a first-gen Apple Watch. She's got a MacBook Air. She's got an iPhone 6S is what it said in the article. And she still loves them all. And she has, you know, she doesn't feel like she needs to upgrade any of them, because they're all still working great. I mean, Apple made great products, and people like them, and now all the phones they have are massive, so if you do want a smaller phone, you can't get one. I did a little bit of homework before the show, because I knew we were going to be talking about this, and so an iPhone XS in the 256 size, which is the size most people, I think, should get, because it makes no sense to get the 64. And, you know, most people don't need the 512. So go to the middle one. Just buying it straight out is $1,149. For $1,149, you can walk into Best Buy and buy a 75-inch 4K TV.
Wrong. You can't. You can't buy a 75-inch 4K. You can buy a 65-inch 4K.
I just looked it up.
Is it Vizio?
It's like a Sharp or something.
Uh-huh.
Like it won't be the one with like the... It won't be the one with like the HDR processor in it. That'll be a software TV.
I think to Jim's point, though, what he's saying is...
My point here is
I get his point.
I mean, for a 65-inch, you can get an actual Samsung that's got HDR for that price. Samsung with HDR for that price. I mean, that's the sticker shock here, is people's like, I'm paying that much for this phone when I can get this, or... You know, if you want to scale it back a bit, I can get a 55-inch mid-range TV and an Xbox, or I can get a 55-inch TV and a really nice soundbar and subwoofer, or a 55-inch and a separate camera that shoots great picture. I mean, it's just the phones. I mean, these phones have these really nice OLED screens in them, and that costs money, and they've got a lot of camera parts in them, and that costs money, and they've got a lot of memory in them that costs money, and the CPU, and I can see where that's adding up. And I see why Apple is charging more for them, you know, especially now. If they're not selling as many, then they have to charge more for, you know, what they're making, because, you know, that's the way business works. But I just kind of wanted to, you know, some sort of comparison there, where you can go buy, you know, this TV that, you know, people think is, amazing. Like, I can get this piece of technology for basically the same price as I can get for a phone that I carry around that, you know, for most people, they don't live on them like we do.
I don't know if they don't live on them like we do, but I think part of the innovations that are in the phone now, people aren't yet taking advantage of. So one of the things that you see trotted out at WWDC is all the augmented reality things that at least the last two generations of phone, the 10 and the 10S, are capable of doing. And there's not a lot of apps really right now. There's not one that's really caught on other than, you think about the filters on Snapchat and things like that, or maybe Animoji. But you remember at WWDC when you saw people who were doing like virtual Lego building and they had all these games and other things that you could do using the rear-facing camera. So there's a lot of capability. And I think short-term, this looks bad for Apple, you know, like, oh no, panic. But long-term, as they start to exploit the features that are in these phones, I think right now they've gotten ahead of what people are writing software to do, but the hardware is actually capable of doing it. And I think it's going to take a while to catch up before developers get in there and start making, because you could really make the case, the things that you could do with a phone, think about all the stuff you could do with AR that just isn't there yet in terms of application.
I mean, I've used the tape measure quite a bit, but I also still own a tape measure that I could just go pull out of my toolbox and use. But it is quite handy to just have it on my phone and, you know, measure.
Yeah,
things.
But you don't carry your
tape measure everywhere.
Tape measure around on your
belt.
Exactly.
Belt.
I agree.
Like a handyman.
My tape measure does have the little thing to put it on my belt, but I don't think I've ever used that.
I think we're starting to scratch the surface of what it's capable of, but I don't think that it's there yet. But I think it's coming. I mean, I certainly understand the price that they're charging for it. It is a premium product, and it will last a number of years. People like us who are on the upgrade program will get a new one every year, but you could give that phone to my brother, you could give that phone to my mom, and it would last them, you know, easily 5 years with no problem. And I think that's where the hiccup is coming from. But
it would last like a person that goes and buys a new MacBook. They keep it for 5 years.
Right. Like my girlfriend, I think she had a 6S. I'm not sure what it was. I think it was a 6S. And when I got my 10S, she bought a 10S. And she bought it straight up. She didn't do the payment program or anything. She just bought it because she doesn't plan on getting a new phone next year, or maybe even the next year. I mean, she's like, I bought it, and this is my phone until I see something that makes me think otherwise, you know, that this phone is not meeting my needs. And, I mean, you know, she waited a couple of years and then dropped the grand and, you know, go from there.
Yeah, and it's not a bad thing. I wish folks wouldn't panic for that. I mean, it's certainly, Apple certainly supports their devices for a long period of time. So they had to know this day was coming, which leads us into our next big thing that came out of CES. Apple never goes to CES, but they did announce, you know, something that I thought I would never, ever see, which is, first of all, iTunes is coming to Samsung TVs, which, you know, blew my mind. And HomeKit and AirPlay are coming to LG, Vizio, and who was the other?
Sony.
Sony, yes. Good old Sony. So, wow.
Finally, we get Apple TVs like 5 years later, right? Remember that from like 5 years ago? Like, Apple's going to make TVs. And they never did it, ever. Because everybody's like, some people were like, they're going to make TVs. And other people were like, there's no money in TVs. The margins are too small. That's not an Apple kind of product. And so they're finally in TVs, but it's not them.
This is really, I think, the smarter move. And, you know, people were saying, oh, this is Apple panicking and having to... No, they've been working on this for a while. So they've talked about their services division, and they've made a point of it every year when they, you know, they do the iPhone announcements and they talk about how the divisions are doing. Services has been on their radar, you know, publicly they've discussed it since 2016. So, you know, it keeps growing. The iTunes coming to Samsung TVs, though, there's something really nice about that. And, you know, I think we've accepted that smart TVs spy on us, right? Even when you take something and you're like, you know, you're hooking in through an external HDMI device, these things are constantly tattling on you back to the manufacturers, who turn around and sell that information to advertisers, which is creepy, awful, and really one of the worst things about having an internet-connected TV. But iTunes on Samsung's TVs, they won't be able to add track inside of that. So that gives you an incentive, if you care about your privacy, to, you know, if you use Movies Anywhere, that service that Disney and the studios went in on, where if you buy a movie on one service, you get it on a competing service. If you do that and you have a Samsung TV, I would strongly recommend, whether or not you like Apple or not, use the iTunes function that will be built into your TV to watch it if you don't want advertisers tracking what you're watching. I think that's that really gets overlooked at Apple's commitment to privacy, which also at CES this week, they took out a billboard in Vegas for CES that said, what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone, which I thought was kind of
cute.
That
was pretty funny. That was funny. I do know that the Android TV interfaces on my big Sony that I bought Thanksgiving of 2017 and the soundbar are both about as awful as an interface as you can get. It's like if you go to that TV interface on my the Android TV interface on my Sony, it's got like a row of buttons. It's always there that makes it look like it's the first time you ever launched your TV. Like they're just always there. But it's like, hey, come do this or install this. And they never go away. It's just like it's like a brand new TV every time you look at it, which I think is kind of weird.
The one thing that struck me about that interface, because I too had that TV before I changed it for the LG, the only way that interface was so sluggish that the only way I could ever interface with it was by using Google Assistant to tell it what I wanted to do, which, I mean, that worked flawlessly and fast, but navigating the menu, there was enough lag there that it was frustrating that I always just use the Google Assistant each time.
The only thing I've used on it was Spotify, and somehow Spotify ended up at the far right list of the applications, like you have to scroll left and right, and I couldn't figure out how to move it over to the left, and so it's like anytime I want to do it, it's like scroll all the way out. Oh, there it is again. Yeah.
Well, speaking of smart TVs kind of spying on you, did you guys see the tweet earlier today from Nili Patel? Or I guess it was actually a couple days back. He was talking about his parents' brand new Vizio P-Series TV. He shared some Eero stats from his hub and router that showed that his parents' Google Home Hub had, like, over the course of the time that it's been plugged in, made 47,276 queries out. And I thought, God, that's a lot, right? But the Vizio TV that is their brand new TV that they just got has already made 506,665 outbound queries. And he's like, you know, they use an Apple TV for streaming. So like, they're not even streaming anything. This is just what's going on in the background communication back to Vizio.
That's one reason I unplugged my Roku, because it was the chattiest device in my house, constantly making tracking and ad requests up to the internet. And I, of course, found all that through Pi-hole. And then my second most chatty things are my Amazon Echoes.
I was just about to say, it's a perfect case for a Pi-hole if you have
one. Pi-hole opened my eyes to all of that. It is crazy what you can see, and you can see all of the domains. And just to watch that, those graphs, and to look at that is just nuts, to see how many requests all these devices are making, and to like see it, like if I'm not home and then I go home for a couple hours and I see it like spike up, you know, like the usage spikes and the connection spikes, and then, you know, all the way back down. But it never goes all the way down, you know. It's always chatty whether I'm home or not.
Jim and his five Echoes.
Roku was constant.
Yeah, five Echoes in like 1,000 square feet or something.
Good Lord, man. No, you know, I think it is, it's great that they're actually doing this, because some of the things that you're going to be able to do, it'll be nice to be able to take your phone and AirPlay to any of the TVs that you own. It'll be nice because it's integrating with Siri, so you can say, I think the example was, watch Game of Thrones on my living room TV, and it will start it up and, you know, turn on the TV and get it going and ready. And it looked like for some of those, like the Sony TVs that actually are using Android, the Google Android Assistant or whatever, Google Assistant, that it will actually integrate with that as well, so that, you know, you can, that was the indication that I got. So I hope that I'm understanding that correctly. But if you tell the Google Assistant to do something, or if you're trying to do it over HomeKit, it'll have some sort of integration there, if I'm not wrong. I probably need to look on that a little bit better.
So I read a lot of the headlines, but I didn't get deep into the articles. Did they say when these TVs are going to be available? Is this like a now thing, or is it
in
like
2019?
A spring, or
so
just 2019?
It's going to vary by manufacturer, but so far iTunes will only be on the Samsung TVs. That's the only announcement that we've seen. But you know, this is really what Microsoft went through back in 2014, right? So when Satya and Nadella, we talked about that a lot on the show, is that they really embraced, hey, there's a world outside of Windows. Why don't you go out there and take some of that money that's just waiting to be made and do it? Because you're a software company. You're not a Windows company. You're a software company. It looks like Apple is sort of doing that too. They have all these TV shows that are in production right now. No idea when they're going to launch, how they're going to launch, but getting that on everything that they can get it on. Hey, it's worked for Netflix. I mean, you know, putting Netflix on every single device has really helped out a lot in making that popular. So by putting this on all these manufacturers, I think they should go the extra mile, since they're all buddy-buddy with Amazon, and get on the Fire TV, get on Roku, Get on any platform that will have you so that you can get these things out there. Because otherwise, what are you doing? When you launch these shows, I don't know. I think the days of selling some of that high margin hardware are over, and software is where it's going to be for them.
I kind of wonder if they would go that route to end up on the Rokus or Fires and stuff, because that would really cannibalize the Apple, you know, the Apple TV market, like the actual Apple TV device market. Well, I mean, I guess if you have an iTunes library where you've purchased movies, then that would be fine there. I guess with the Apple TV, what you're really getting is all the built-in app structure and that kind of thing. I mean, you obviously get more there. I mean, I love my Apple TVs, so.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, look at what they did with Apple Music, right? Apple Music is now on the Echo. Apple Music has been on Android for well over a year. You know, you're selling a subscription. It doesn't make sense to me for something that is revenue generating to exist only on one platform, right? So, I mean, you could make the case they shouldn't port FaceTime to Android. They shouldn't port iMessage to Android because those are iPhone-specific features. Those drive hardware purchases. You're not paying for those, essentially. But if you're paying for a music subscription, why shouldn't I listen to that on any platform that supports it? Because everything is going to be front and center with, you know, they don't call it some abstract name. It's Apple Music. You're seeing that name. You're seeing that logo.
That makes sense.
Should you ever want to move from some other platform to iTunes, I mean to iTunes, to iOS or Apple, then it makes it really easy to move. I don't know. I want to see it as being.
Those features aren't selling hardware per se. Some of the other features that are selling hardware stay on Apple specific hardware, but movies and music and things like that, that's not, you know, I mean, it is selling Apple hardware, but it's not why you go to Apple hardware.
I would agree. Like the HomePod right now, I guess Apple Music is supposed to be one of the more compelling reasons to own a HomePod, but you should be able to listen to it. If you want to listen to it on an Echo, you want to listen to it on a television, you want to, you know, listen anywhere, you should be able to do that. And that it's only going to be good for Apple, right? You're holding back those divisions that are charging money for something if it's only tied to your hardware. You know what I mean? So,
well, I mean, the only reason I still have Apple Music is because, and I hate saying this, is I love iTunes. I mean, it's actually better now than it was 3 years ago because they took a bunch of stuff out of it. You know, but I love making custom playlists and using all the smart playlist logic to, you know, play me songs that I love that I haven't listened to in 3 months and stuff, stupid stuff like that, that you can't do with Spotify. You know, and so that's really my use case for Apple Music is, you know, building playlists and stuff like that with iTunes, whereas with Spotify, it's just playing playlists that other people have put together.
Yeah, which you can also do in Apple Music, but yeah.
Right.
I'm really hoping that they lean into this because I wouldn't replace any of my TVs. I still have, I think, 4 or 5 1080p's and 1 4K. But if anything may convince me to like look at a new TV come Black Friday or several new TVs when it comes on, you know, next Black Friday, having HomeKit and all that stuff built in would make me definitely consider it.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in, like, I couldn't justify a new 75 this year, but I really want a 75 in the den. And so knowing that Samsung is going to have iTunes available, you know, for this upcoming fall or whatnot, it may make the acquisition list.
Understood. Same here. I think I would replace my LG with another LG, knowing that I could do HomeKit and just being able to tell Siri. While my brother and his wife and their family came out over Christmas, and they were, you know, I had the HomePod in the guest room because I'd been sort of convalescing in there and I left it in there. And, you know, they were occupying the guest room when they came. And while I was gone, they would try to turn on the TV, but they were like, you know, Siri, turn on the TV. Siri, stuff that it doesn't do today. So a year from now, that would be great. They would absolutely be able to do that. They could say, turn on the TV to this channel and boom, it would do it.
And it's totally familiar to you if you already own an iPhone.
Yes, that's the other thing. So let's hope that that guy, that John Gianandrea from Google that they hired really gets Siri up to snuff, because that's the other implication of this too, is that Siri is going to be talking to, this is going to be the first time you're going to see these HomeKit and Siri integrations that are from manufacturers other than Apple when it comes to a TV platform. So curious.
Well, say you have an actual, you know, cable subscription, and you could walk in and say, you know, Siri, put on the Bucks game or something or another, and just have it flip the channel for you and et cetera, which I guess that wouldn't work if you had a cable box.
But still, it's going to be wild. I can't wait to see how that's going to work in practice.
I've been rocking the HomePod all week long, trying that out, finally getting a couple of days at home to really break it in. And I've really enjoyed it, man. That thing just sounds so good. I've I've really been shocked.
Have you made any phone calls on it yet?
No. I've just been listening to playlists all week, and I've been tweeting like songs all week long. Like, hey, I hadn't heard this song in a while, or I hadn't heard this song in a while. So yeah, I've just been working and listening to music all week. It is. I mean, that's what it's for, right? A HomePod, listen to music.
Oh, well, if you hear Apple tell it, then yeah, that's what it's for. But my favorite thing is if I'm sitting there, like, I know this is going to sound terrible. I'm going to sound like, you know, not my age, but I'll be sitting there playing the PlayStation, playing my video games. My wife gets off work. I'll have it, the HomePod nearby. The phone will ring. Used to, I would just stick in my AirPods and then just do that and go that way. But now, if I'm near the HomePod, I'll just tell Siri to answer the telephone on the HomePod, and boom, it's there. It works great and totally hands-free. Never have to go and do anything, and it sounds amazing. And oftentimes, the other person can't even tell you're on a speakerphone, so it's great. The only thing that's kind of awkward was, I guess I was talking to her a couple weeks ago when she was at work, and to hang up, you have to invoke Siri. You know, you have to call her name and then say, hang up the phone. And my wife was sitting there, and I'm like, you know, Siri, hang up the phone. I hear snickering in the background just as the phone call disconnects of, like, it just seemed awkward. You can't just boop, you know, hang up. It's hang up the phone.
You gotta let them wait. You gotta let them wait. Hang up on you first, right?
That's what I tell her to. It's like, why don't you hang up so you don't have to hear me embarrass myself talking to a virtual assistant to tell the phone to hang up. But no, she didn't do that. So
the world is what it is. I mean, that's where we're going. So just, you know, embrace it and move
can't
on.
Can't get here fast enough. Speaking of Siri on HomePod, there was a thing that came out that it was asked 800 questions and answered 74% correctly versus 52% earlier this year. So I guess they are making progress on that.
As someone who's been pretty critical on Siri, especially on the HomePod, I will say that since the HomePod has come out, Siri has gotten considerably better. I mean, sports that I used to ask questions about that she didn't know the answer to, or just other random stuff that you would think just should be super simple, it now works, right? And I find that my wife is using it more as well because it just works.
My favorite thing is asking how old celebrities are. I'll be watching a movie and go, you know, hey, how old is so-and-so? That's one of my favorite games. It's gotten better at that too, because used to it couldn't tell you much about celebrities. So of course, also over the time that we were gone, that there was an article that came out how a user's Alexa conversations ended up in a stranger's hands. So look out for that, Jim, with your five Alexas. You're five times more susceptible to this than the rest of us. That's the thing too with the billboard for what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. I don't think the average person understands, you know, what they're trading off, what they're giving up when they use an Echo or a Google Home versus using Siri.
So I've got a good Echo story. So for Thanksgiving, I ordered like a 8-pack of the new Tiles that have the replaceable battery. And the deal they had going on was a really good price on these Tiles. And you got a free Echo Dot, like a Gen 2 or 3, whatever the latest one is, the nice one. The nice little, you know, kind of more rounded looking puck. I've already got a bunch of these things. I didn't really need it. I had already gotten my mom something for Christmas. Very nice. I'm not being a cheapskate giving her something free. But I brought it with me when I went home to Mississippi. And I just said, hey, mom, you know, I've got your gift under the tree. But if you would use this, you know, I'll give it to y'all, you know, to use. And she goes, yeah, what does it do? And she really had no clue. I know. It's like, where have you been, mom? But I set it up in her living room.
I have this thing called a podcast you don't listen to.
And so I've got messages from her about every other day since I left at Christmas telling me how much she loves her Dot. That she'll send me a message and say, I'm cooking apple tarts and listening to Tom Petty and I love this. Or, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. I added... I probably shouldn't say this, but I added my Spotify family account to it so she could listen to Spotify because they don't even have a Prime account. And I mean, I went through and I added some playlists to her Spotify user. And so she's got some of those where she, if she asks for stuff, it kind of picks it up. And I favorited a bunch of artists that way, you know, just if she tells it to shuffle or whatever. I put her commute to work in there so she can, you know, like basically before she leaves the house, she can just say, which way should I go to, you know, work? And it'll tell her that. The day I was, before I left, I was sitting there with my stepdad, and he was just asking it to play like these random old songs, you know, and about every 5 minutes, just under his breath, sitting at the table, he'd just go, that's amazing. I mean, it was just the funniest thing. You know, he would just say, like, play Johnny Rivers, blah, blah, blah. You know, these old crazy country songs, and it would just play it. And he would just go, that's amazing. And so I was like, the free thing that I got that I gave my mom for Christmas is like the best gift I've ever given her. But, you know, like I said, it's like every couple of days I get a message from her that just says, hey, I'm listening to such and such, you know, I love you. And I'm like, wait, this is, you know, I'm coming back into good son status.
You should add the drop-in feature to it so y'all can just say drop in on whoever. I mean, just doing the voice part, it's not like you're going to get video of your mom.
I did not know that. That's neat.
You could do, you know, drop in and talk to your mom while she's sitting there, you know, cutting celery or something in the kitchen.
I am going to freak her out and do that.
You damn privacy invader. Let's see. So did you guys see that the SiriusXM-owned Pandora released an Apple Watch app this week that allows for offline playback? How sweet is that?
I thought my dentist office was the only place that still used Pandora.
I think my dentist office actually uses Pandora as well. So that's kind of strange.
Okay, so dentist offices are keeping them in business.
I have a couple of coworkers that still use Pandora just because they're too cheap to pay for a music subscription.
Yeah, that until I bought my parents a year-long Apple Music subscription, and that's the only reason they're on it, through their HomePod that I got them. Otherwise, it was Pandora all the way, and I'd go visit, and it's like, I'm tired of hearing commercials. Let's take care of this. Let's fix this. Let's solve this problem so this never happens again.
That annoys the hell out of me when I've got like a drill in my mouth, and all of a sudden a commercial comes on, the music's just playing. I'm like, look, how much am I paying you? You can like get a, you know, pay $36 or $45 a year or whatever it is and get commercial-free Pandora up in this office.
Yeah, that kind of annoys me too. But, you know, if they're...
I need to pony up the bucks and get my parents their own Apple Music subscription. They've got Bluetooth speakers at the house. You know, mom's always using her iPod or dad's using his iPhone out in his shop to play to their Bluetooth speakers. And so the other day, you know, they've been sharing my Apple Music account. The other day I just told Siri, you know, hey, play something I'll like. And it was like, now playing Marty Robbins. And I was like, no, that is not what I want.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso.
El Paso.
See, I'm surprised with all the, I know I do the Amazon. Oh, you do it too. You do the Apple gift cards when they're on sale. It'd be easy to squirm an Apple Music subscription with like you buy 5 gift cards where you get $20 a piece for the, that are free. Boom, paid for.
I have relatives that use my Netflix that screw my Netflix up because they go into the wrong profile, or they've got like old crappy devices that can't go into profiles and you can't reorder them. You can't put like the guest profile first, you know, the one I have named guest or whatever. It's like my profile is the first one. Yeah. So they'll like watch the first 5 minutes of like 10 horror movies. And then I get in there and all it does is suggest horror movies for me to watch. And I hate horror movies.
You can go into the history and remove stuff. There is a way to clean that stuff out.
Oh, I know. I have. It's a real pain in the butt. You know, in late last year, I got the password changed on some people and they ended up having to call and say, hey, what's the password?
That's hilarious. Yeah. If Pandora can do it, I really wish everyone else would do that as well. I'm looking at you, Spotify, is give some offline playback for this stuff. I know Apple Music does it, which is nice. Got all this storage on the Apple Watch and hardly anything utilizes what you're able to do with it. So hopefully this is a good omen for the other music vendors to do something like that. It'd be nice.
Which segues right into me telling time on my watch.
So speaking of which, Jim, this is made tailor-made just for you. So Apple has put new Apple Watch Series 4 tutorial videos on YouTube, and I think I want to just send a link to this to everyone that I see with an Apple Watch. I encounter so many people on a daily basis who have Apple Watches, and they're pretty much Jim's use case. They're just using it to check the time. They're not doing the really cool things that they could do.
I check the time. I count my steps. I did notice something cool on the cruise last week. I was snorkeling, and for whatever reason, I looked down at my watch, and I noticed that it had picked up that I was swimming and had started recording the activity of me doing the swimming exercise, which I thought was very cool.
That is awesome. That is good. It worked as advertised. That's awesome.
I use mine as the most expensive snooze bar ever made.
Had you been pushing yourself through the airport, it would have picked up your motion pushing the wheels, possibly.
That's
that
right.
Was something they touted.
That is true. I completely forgot about that. Let's see. So a couple of weeks ago, I sent a link to you guys. Maybe it was a month ago at this point. I sent you guys a link where there's a portable Apple charger. Apple Watch charger that you can clip to your belt or backpack or whatever. I bought that thing and I used it. Oh my goodness, I am loving that. It was one of the best $40 I've ever spent. So while I was traveling.
And it's still not back in stock.
Well, it came
in. I have it on like my wish list or whatever. And it came back in stock for like one day and or a couple hours or something. And it's still not back in stock.
Yeah, they apparently can't make these things fast enough. But I was lucky to get one while it was for the brief window while it was in stock. And I've been using it. I used it when I went to Cincinnati. And, you know, you're out doing stuff all day. And end of the day, you're, you know, maybe nearly half depleted, which is still good usage. I didn't have to do it. But it's like, okay, I got 5 minutes. I'll charge this thing up just a little bit more. And having the battery, I mean, it's as advertised. It works pretty neat. I don't know why I'm so enamored of it, but I really like it. And I'll put a link in the show notes for folks. So then when it does come back in stock, you can take a look at it.
I mean, I was using, I never took my watch off in the salt water of, you know, the Bahamas. We went diving in a cenote. It was all fresh, cold water. I mean, I never took the watch off. It was right there.
You could have made phone calls underwater, Jim. You could have answered text messages while snorkeling. It would have been neat.
It would have sounded like that guy from the movie where she falls in love with the fish man.
Yeah, the
like where he talks and he always sounds like he's like gurgling underwater.
Yeah, was that the Shape of Water? Wasn't that it?
That was it.
Good stuff. So I have some things that I want to mention that are not necessarily Apple related, but do you guys have anything you want to talk about that I may have left off that is Apple related?
I just want to say new AirPods, please. I'm just going to say that every episode until we get them.
Me too, man. I got notification just a few minutes ago that UPS just dropped off my wireless Power Beats 3 by Beats by Dre. My left AirPod just... It doesn't work unless you turn it upside down in your ear. It's the weirdest thing.
Start calling you Rudy Giuliani.
Exactly. I mean, it looks silly, but that's the only way that one works. Best Buy had like a crazy refurb deal. I don't know if these were even refurbed or they're just overstocked or what, but you know, those headphones are normally $199. And they had them on sale for $67. So I bought a pair of those to, you know, for gym use and to get me by until the AirPods 2 come out. So Jim, I feel your pain.
Speaking of gym use, now that I'm recovering, I have been cleared to work out again as of this afternoon. I see Jim using his lovely MX3s. Funny story, I was going to go out and buy those and sell my MX2s, but I haven't done that yet. I did get a lovely gift certificate or an Amex gift card that I was thinking about doing that with, and that would have gone a long way toward it. Now, it is hard for me to justify it because my MX2s work great. I heard the MX3s were a bit lighter than the MX2s. How does that work, Jim? Is it significant?
I went from the 1 to the 3, and they are significantly lighter. They are definitely more comfortable to wear for long periods of time, and the speakers in them are just amazing. I got into the app and messed around. There's an app you can put on the phone where you can turn on sound fields and stuff. It's not something I would normally use, but I was just playing around with it. And these things were vibrating on my head. I was doing like a, you know, had some Odessa playing with like some, you know, crazy like stadium soundstage or something. And I could just feel them vibrating on my head. It was rocking out. I mean, they're pretty sharp. And I handed me down the ones, so we're good.
Good to know. I'll keep that in mind if I can get my CFO to not give me any grief about upgrading my my headphones.
I'll give you $50 for the old ones.
No, it's
I gotta put a link in the show notes. You said that CFO. There was something on Reddit the other day where a company had installed a vending machine that had like USB cables and keyboards and mice and all that kind of stuff. And when you came up and got something out of it, the code you pushed in would bill the department you were in for whatever you wanted. So the IT department had set up this vending machine. So instead of them like ordering stuff or sending stuff out, that's how you got stuff in for your department, is to come up and get the stuff out of it, a vending machine. I just thought that was so cool.
And that would work great, like in a corporate department or in like a public realm, like a city hall or something, where you have like a water department and the police department or whatever, and each department has their own, you know, yearly budget. That's pretty ingenious.
I thought it was pretty sharp. Yeah, there were like Apple wireless keyboards in this thing.
That is pretty slick. That's nice. But what I was just saying too, I know Jason, you and I had talked about being gym pals. I did get cleared to work out again starting today. I'm supposed to take it easy because of the nature of the surgery that I had. My legs do swell with exercise. I had them swell up just before I went on my trip, and I'd been in the backyard running. I have a great nephew, and I was running around with him and the dog, and he was loving it. He's like 1.5 or 2 or something. Like, he's real young, and he enjoyed it, and it was fun to chase the dog, which he would then chase the dog with me, and then the next day my legs were completely swollen. Like, I could barely put socks on. They were so swollen because I still have a lot of trauma in my legs. But I was told to expect that when I go back to the gym, it's going to happen. But I'm ready to do that. So maybe very soon you and I can, once I go long enough that my body gets used to it, I'm not swelling anymore, then this would be a good thing. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
Let's see. Some things that I did want to mention before we call it a show. I had my HomePod die. One of my HomePods die. I don't know if I know I mentioned that on Telegram to you guys, but I was walking by my office, and one day I'm using my HomePod. I come by, and I see the volume buttons flashing. And I'm like, that's weird. I wonder what's going on there. And I start talking to it. It doesn't respond. I try to do the factory reset. Won't factory reset. I'm like, I'm out of tricks. So that's the only thing I know to do when you have a problem. Quickly Googled it, and it was like every single one was hardware replacement. So I go into the Apple store, no appointment. And the most unusual thing about it is when they pulled up the serial number of my HomePod, they commented to each other. It's like, wow, it says for this serial number, don't even attempt to repair, just outright swap. So I have to think there was something that was a known issue with some of it, because I had the one that was the one from launch day that I had.
Silent recall or something.
Yeah, it seemed like even they were kind of surprised. Like, they don't even want us to try to fix it. They just said swap it, no problem. So
I think that's a movie, Brad, isn't it? Silent Pumpkin.
Silent but deadly.
Silent recall.
So total recall.
So that was something. Let's see. Pop culture wise, has everyone seen Bird Box yet? I guess.
Oh, yeah.
No.
No.
What?
I was on vacation.
Okay, fair enough.
Just like the finance manager at the Kia dealership, I have 0% interest.
It wasn't bad. I mean, it was... I got tired of seeing all the memes and GIFs. So it was like, all right, what's this all about? Okay, I'll go watch it.
Is it worth watching? Let's go ahead and ask.
Okay. One of the best memes, though, that I did see was... I don't know if you guys saw the Bears-Eagles game the other day. Eagles call timeout right as the Bears kicker is about to kick, and you know, his first one goes through the uprights just fine, and then when he goes back out there after the timeout to kick it again, he doinks off the crossbar. So the best meme I saw was, it was the Bears kicker in mid kick, but somebody had photoshopped Sandra Bullock's face onto the kicker with the blindfold. It was outstanding.
I like when they took her with the blindfold and they put her with the Ninja Turtles and cut two holes in the little blindfold, so she was a Ninja Turtle. That was pretty good. It was okay. If you haven't seen it and you don't really have a lot of interest in seeing it, I would totally get it. If you guys are familiar with Red Letter Media, the people that do the Mr. Plinkett reviews, and they do Half in the Bag, they did a good cover of Bird Box, not a cover, review of Bird Box, where they talk about what they found structurally bad with it. And, you know, no spoilers to anyone. The movie does start off with sort of toward the end of what the movie would be at the very beginning, and sort of jumps around in time. And that sort of screws with the suspense factor, because you know if you're seeing this at the very beginning, then how it's going to end up. Well, I don't know. I don't want to give too much away if you haven't seen it. It was okay. I mean, I wouldn't have paid if it had been in the movies in the theater. I don't know that I would have gone to have. I would have felt sort of ripped off if I had seen it. But on Netflix, it was pretty good. And with the Dolby Atmos and the vision, it looks really nice too.
But would you have felt ripped off if you used your AMC Stubs A-list that you and I both just joined?
That leads me to my next thing. Jim, you were going to say something about Bird Box?
I was just going to say, well, I mean, you know, Netflix getting top line talent like Sandra Bullock is, you know, kind of crazy, right? I mean,
well, a year ago they did Bright with Will Smith, which
I know,
also
and that movie was awful.
It had its moments.
That movie was a real letdown.
It had some funny things in it that made me laugh that I don't know if they were intentional.
Yeah, okay, you're right. But this one, I was just like, I mean, Sandra Bullock, she can pretty much pick and choose any project she wants to do nowadays.
And
I mean,
name her price.
And name her price. And for her to do a Netflix movie, that's why I was like, okay, I've got to watch it because I saw it when it was released, and then I get back from vacation and it craps everywhere.
Did you guys see that Brad Pitt had a movie on there last May where he played sort of a general based on, was it McChrystal, I guess, that he was based on, where it's talking about going into Afghanistan? I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was, I mean, they had Brad Pitt in the movie. They had Sandra Bullock. They've got Will Smith. They're funny that this little DVD company has now become the sort of a real legit studio. But yeah, it was okay. I thought it was pretty nice. But you did mention AMC's A-List. I dropped MoviePass finally, for myself and my wife. It has been nigh unusable for us since about October. I guess all of the theaters that we had are no longer available, and the only one that was available was in downtown Atlanta, about 20 miles away, and it was no value anymore, so I switched, and I'm kind of digging that A-List. I wish I'd done this sooner. Wow, it is a lot better. Jason, you're using it too, right?
Yeah, so you know, like, you know, you mentioned in Telegram today that you were going to go see Glass on Thursday night, or next Thursday night when it comes out, and that's a movie that I would love to see. So, you know, you and I live close enough to one another that you just told me, you're like, hey, I'm sitting in seat such and such, and I was able to launch the app and get a seat right next to you. So yeah, I'm pleased with the technology. I think the price is good. I think the options are good. I've got, for me, I've got three AMC theaters within 10 to 12 miles of me, and two of them are excellent, and one of them's an older one. But, you know, the older one's still in decent condition, and the thing that I like about it is it shows, because it's like within a mile of the new one that replaced it, it's actually showing different movies. So you know, there are a couple of movies that have been out for a little bit that I do want to go see that aren't in the big, you know, nicer theaters anymore. So I'll probably go hit those up, you know, this week.
Yeah, I think I live the exact same distance from that theater, but in a different direction. I know the ones you mean. That's where I saw Into the Spider-Verse, I think, was at the newer one. So AMC typically hasn't been my favorite chain because they weren't close enough to make it really good. But even the one that we're going to see Glass in has a Dolby theater. It's where I saw Aquaman. I didn't know that it had a Dolby theater. I've been going there for like 15 years. And I guess that must be a new thing. And they only have the one screen for Dolby that, you know, I'll go and whatever their big release is where it is. But yeah, 12 movies a month for $20 is a pretty good deal. And being able to book them in advance, like all the hoops that I used to have to jump through with MoviePass just to save a couple bucks just ends up not being worth it. But I did have an e-ticket option with MoviePass for a while, and the Studio Movie Grill near my house. I could just, you know, book it and didn't have to be near the theater, and then that went away as an option altogether. I couldn't see anything there, and yeah, I'm this actually will keep me at the movies a lot more than I used to. So, but
well, it just, I mean, the whole MoviePass thing was a good experiment, and it, you know, all the brick and mortar movie houses are jumping on board. I mean, we don't have any AMCs here in where I live, but
you do have a Cinemark, and they do have a subscription.
Cinemark
service.
Is doing a thing. It's not on the level as far as AMC does. I mean, I think it's like $8 or maybe $15 a month. You get to see one movie, but you get like big discounts on concessions or something like that. I mean, I haven't signed up for it, but you know, it's not terrible. But I mean, one movie a month, I mean, that's not really worth it.
That's not really worth it. SMG, Studio Movie Grill, did their own too. I noticed on Facebook or something, I saw an ad for it, and it's like $20 a month and you get four movies. It's like, I get 12 movies a month with AMC for the same price. It's crazy. And
now one thing that's kind of cool about the newest AMC near me is there's like dine-in where you can order on the app and they bring the food to you at your chair. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean they are competing in some of those markets with your Studio Movie Grill. And what's the other one that exists that I've gone to that's close by?
Regal.
No, the other one that has the dine-in experience. Gosh, what is it? I drive pretty far out to I think it's Lawrenceville that I go to see stuff out there because you can see the movies at like 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning and they have a breakfast menu.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hilarious.
Give me some waffles while I watch the Avengers or whatever, or pancakes while I watch the Avengers. So yeah, I've done that before. God, as soon as I hang up, I'll remember what that was. But no, I think this is going to end up being a pretty good deal for me too. And it's the only way I can get my wife to go to the movies is through a subscription service. So because otherwise, when we went to see Into the Spider-Verse on my birthday, we saw it in a really nice one up in the theater you're talking about with the dine-in and everything else, and it was $20 a ticket. So I didn't tell her that. I just booked it, and then
$20 a ticket.
$20 a ticket. That was the one for the Dolby experience with the reclining seats and everything. I mean, it's a great theater, but that cost us $40 to go see that movie. I didn't say anything to her because I really wanted to see that movie, and I'm just going to do it. And that was the only convenient showtime.
I'm really showing my age here, but Jesus Christ!
When I signed up for MoviePass originally, we had seen The Last Jedi the year before on my birthday, and same thing where I went to the Regal and it was like $20 a ticket. And it's like, this is highway robbery. This movie wasn't even that good. I'm going to go and get myself a MoviePass. So every year I get royally shanked by a movie theater chain, and that makes me go to some other option. But yes, you were going to say something, Jason?
So is the Spider-Man really good? I mean, like, I'm not a big fan of cartoon type stuff, but I am a Spider-Man fan. So is it worth going to?
So there's two ways you can view this. I mean, on the one cynical way, this is Sony going, I really want to make money. I'm going to do this, and this is going to, you can tell it's a jumping off point, right? We're going to bring in 5 or 6 Spider-Man characters. We're going to spin them off into their own thing. It'll be great, little money-making. So that's the cynical part of it. The good part of it, though, the good way to look at it is an actually interesting story. It's something that you haven't seen in a Spider-Man movie before, where you have Spider-Man having a mentor. They do bring in things from the comics that I really liked, like, Spider-Man Noir or Spider-Gwen or all these other, you know, from different universe things. I enjoyed it a lot. I would watch it again. And I did buy the retro Jordan OG Spider-Man shoes that Miles Morales wears in the movie. So had to use GOAT for the first time on my phone. Jim, I know you did as well. Didn't buy those shoes, but I did like the retro Jordans, and those were the same way they looked when I was a kid. So it's like, all right, I'm doubly sold. Marvel and some retro Jordans. So hook me up.
Yep. GOAT. That's where it's at.
And if it works out well, I was telling my wife, it's like Jason and Jim have a lot of shoes. She's like, I could see you doing that. I was like, thanks.
I loved my Jordans back when I was in, like, I don't know, 5th grade or whatever, the originals.
That's exactly what these look like. And because I had sort of a wide foot, I was going to try on a pair of Jordans, and they don't come in wide. So I went to, like, Foot Locker. I went to Champs. Walk into the store. Do you guys carry size 13s? Nope, 12 ties we go. I'm like, huh, okay, thanks.
I was pretty shocked because I know, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but I know you're like a dad shoe wearer.
I am, totally, all the way. Well, I mean, it's the
Rockports.
I used to wear the Rockports, but I
her SAS.
But I am a Air Monarch guy. So black Air Monarchs, not the white.
Solid
ones.
Black, yeah, solid black, no color whatsoever.
The nice thing about that, my friends, is that you could wear those in a work environment. They look nondescript enough that they can almost pass for a distance from a work acceptable shoe. They're very comfortable. Yeah, well, I see. Yes, you're rocking some. What is it? They're camouflage. Those what are is the, that?
These are
Adidas. Adidas, right?
Adidas. Yeah, these are a camo Adidas NMD R1. So these are what I wore to work today.
Now, granted, I'll wear the retro OG Jordans to work. I have no problem. I wore
Adidas skateboard shoes to work.
If we're going off the deep end here, I got a pair of Allbirds for Christmas, and they are the most comfortable things I have ever put on my feet. It's crazy. They're just wool shoes. It's craziness. I don't know. I want another pair now. Like, I've got a black pair. Now I want other colors.
So as someone who goes nuts for watch bands, I could see myself going nuts for shoes. I can wear the retro OGs to work, and I will. I totally will. But when I go on a client site, you know, there for a while, I was traveling a lot. So having a shoe like that I could wear that it was just sort of an everyday shoe was fine. But
I have enough Nikes and watch bands where I match them together when I get dressed. I'll pick out shoes and make sure I have a watch band that matches. Yeah.
I've really had to resist a pair that's got sentimental value to me. They just re-released the Air Jordan 4s, and those were released in 89, and those were actually the shoes that I played, you know, freshman varsity basketball in. So, you know, that was kind of near and dear to my heart. And the pattern that they came out with is like black and white with red trim. And so, and Nike even sent me a $20 off 100 purchase coupon for my birthday, but I just can't pull the trigger on them.
I was about to say, I'm surprised that you didn't do it then.
The missus has informed me that
your CFO.
My testosterone levels will be considerably lower if more shoes come in the house.
Well, you know, if you use GOAT, you can actually store your shoes with GOAT for a while. So you could,
I swear that's them. What it's for. It's so you can just buy shoes and you don't have to, like, you know, let somebody else know you have that many shoes. They'll just store them for you. I
totally respect their business model now. Let's see. What else did I do? I finally moved my PS4 from the convalescence room down to the basement, hooked it up to the 65-inch OLED 4K. And even though I don't have the PSP 4 Pro, which would have been the true 4K, I got to say it still looks amazing. It's an HDR. It's like watching a Spider-Man movie or a Red Dead Redemption 2 movie. It is great. I think that's about all that I have. Guys, do you have anything you want to add before we go?
I think I got my stuff out. I did my story about my mom and her Echo. That's what I wanted to talk about.
Yep, I'm all good.
Excellent. There is one more thing that I have, but it's not time sensitive, so I'll just do it next time. Well, I guess that should do it for this week. Until next time, later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Later, fellas. Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idle. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.